This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's March 4th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email also to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Okay, we're going to begin Ron's rant of the week. motorized vehicles on sidewalks. What's with the scooter traffic in stores? Fran, have you had an encounter with a scooter on the sidewalk yet here as you're walking over from the parking garage to the student union?
Well, not an encounter. I mean, I've encountered them. I haven't had a negative encounter, but I've seen people on scooters riding by.
And weaving in and out of the pedestrians and just like being just generally annoying. If you're a motorized vehicle, you should probably stay on the road. It really just kind of annoys me, that's all. I think somebody's going to get hurt and then they're going to open a new can of worms here. Anyway, you ride a scooter, you ride around campus. Let's reconsider the fast driving scootering around on the sidewalks. Same thing with the bicycle. Remember, pedestrian speed in a pedestrian zone is always the safest way to do things. Hate to bring it up, but had a scooter whiz by me, kind of buzz me the other day when I was up here, and it annoyed me, so I had to mention it. On a positive side, let's begin this year and season on a positive, healthy note. Keep your immune system strong. Please be aware not to overtrain. And I'd like Fran to add a little input on this. It has to do with the fact that we are all hearing an awful lot about the coronavirus. And, you know, people who have compromised immune systems are more susceptible to having a problem with this virus or the flu or anything else. And so I mentioned, please be aware not to overtrain, because overtraining tends to compromise your immune system. Fran, your thoughts.
Yeah,
I knew I'd get something out of you.
I have a lot of thoughts.
You usually do.
I have the best thoughts.
You do.
Okay, so anyway, the risk of sounding like a certain politician, I just want to
be careful with that.
I want to leave that port. I want to get in the boat and leave the port and get out of there.
Yeah, don't get on a cruise ship with coronavirus on it.
The one and only cruise I took, I got gastroenteritis.
Of course you did.
Yippee.
Cruise ships are giant Petri tubes.
And I don't get gastroenteritis.
Petri whatever dishes. They're
but
giant
I managed
dishes.
To get gastroenteritis on the cruise. I did cure it with golden seal and oregano oil were the things that took care of it for me. Thank
goodness.
Yeah,
it's either that or you have to jump overboard.
Well, it didn't happen until I was off the boat.
Oh, okay.
It incubated, and I was already back from the cruise when it hit me. And it didn't go away until I had to take something for it. I had to take golden seal and oregano oil, and that took care of it in less than a day. That was amazing.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
so,
good.
All right. So immunity.
Your immune system.
Well, here's the thing. This is interesting. So when you're going into the winter season, when it's October, November, December, people are winding down their seasons in terms of racing and riding and all that kind of stuff, and then they're ramping up it's what you call the eating season. And the things you tend to eat are goodies, and you tend to eat more goodies than maybe you ate, or maybe as much or more goodies than you ate during season, but you're not exercising as much, so you're not burning through them. And you're getting to a time of year where viruses survive better in cold, dry environments. That's one of the reasons you get sick more often in the winter. Another reason is you're not outside as much, so you don't make as much. There's not opportunity to make vitamin D to help your immune system, plus a bunch of other things. So you get into this season where you're you're gradually depleting yourself. You're tired from the season already because, you know, it's the end of the season. Then you go into the fall when it's getting darker and colder. You're exercising somewhat less. You're pushing yourself to keep active. You've got the and you've got this situation that happens every year where it gets darker and colder, and what we really should be doing is slowing down, but we don't. We have the September, which ramps up our activity, and it's stressful activity. It's school, it's chaperoning, it's activities, all kinds of stuff leading up to the holidays, and the holidays are stressful, and now you're gang housed with a lot of your friends and family, so you're able to pass more viruses around. So you're doing all that, and people try kind of let their training go, or they mellow out their training for October, November, December. Then January hits, and so we're not talking about people who are like resolutionists who they go to the gym for 2 weeks and then they don't go, and then they show back up in March, you know, after not having worked out for 2 months.
Right.
That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about
resolution.
Right. We're talking about people like me who could be prone to overtraining, people who are very dedicated to their training.
Right.
And so what happens to me is I mellow out my training for, you know, October, November, December. I go to Florida. When I'm in Florida, I just ride my bike. I don't do intervals. I don't train.
And eat lots of citrus.
And when Ron asks me, do you want to do rotating pace lines, I say no, and then he gets mad at me. So,
Oh, boy. That had to come out, didn't it?
Yeah, right. So anyway, so then when we return, it starts out, I have many options for training, and I start my winter training pretty much as soon as I get back. And I jump in with both feet, and I wind up taking a couple of your very difficult indoor cycling classes, you know, two during the week and one on the weekend, and they're pretty intense. And I, in between, I go to yoga and I lift weights, and I have some, you know, just easy rides that I do just for the miles. So I'm on my bike this time of year 5 days a week, not for long. But, you know, my longest day is going to be, if I'm able to get out on the road, I'm going to get out for 1.5 to 2 hours, and that's it. And then my long interval day is 1.5 hours. But it's a hard day.
So you're riding about 7-8 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know, right? So 7-8 hours a week consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not immune to all those treats that we got over the holidays. So I ate some of the treats. We have the immune stuff going on. We have people passing viruses around, and I'm doing this intensive training, so I'm good for at least one. I had a cold when I was in Florida, which I got through very quickly because I was able to rest and lay around and not do anything and eat citrus and, you know, eat soup and like that. But then I got the bronchitis I always get every year. Now, I did very well with the bronchitis this year, but I still got it.
Yep, you did.
And this is in the setting of all this training. So my thing is, when I get sick during winter training, too bad. No more training. We don't train. We do no exercise until
shut it
we
down.
Can.
Right.
That's right. I do
right.
nothing until I'm well. You know, and I mean, I may not be 100% well. I may still have a residual cough, but I make sure I'm not sick. So this is one of my recommendations. First of all, if you get sick, if you get a cold or a flu, I mean, we saw the UConn basketball women. They were all sick and they were all playing.
Yeah, I know.
Which is really ultimately not what you should be doing.
Right.
If you're not racing and there's no reason for you to be training, I mean, if you're terrified that you're going to miss some miles and miss some training, I'm telling you, it's not worth it.
Because you'll miss a lot more if you get really ill.
Well, that's it. And the thing is, the way to get well faster is to shut it down, not train at all, and get as much sleep and rest and immune stuff and soup and garlic and curcumin and turmeric and ginger and echinacea and elderberry and all those things, vitamin A and C and D and zinc, and lay around as much as you can. If you have to go to work, limited. If you can stay home from work, that's the best thing to do, especially loving the time of coronavirus. The more resting and sleeping you can do, because your adrenal hormones, which power both your workouts, your activities, and it also powers your immune system. If you are using them to power a workout, they're not going to be as available to power your immune system. So you're going to stay sick longer. And one of the things about this coronavirus and about bronchitis and stuff like that in general is that because it causes an inflammatory storm in your lungs, it can give you pneumonia. And that's why they're scared that they don't have enough respirators in the hospital for people who have respiratory distress. So you don't want to put yourself there, and you're going to be less likely to go there if you go to bed and lay around.
Right.
So that's the first thing. So the other thing is, in terms of the overtraining, is that if you train too much and too hard, like you're pushing yourself to go outside even in the 30-degree days and do a metric, and plus you're doing all this other training, this is going to be, it's going to be more likely to happen to you.
Sure. You're going to get broken down and eventually you're going to get sick.
So one of the things I'll throw out there is all the immune tonics that you can take. You can take all these great immune herbs, elderberry and ginger and garlic and lung herbs like cherry and yerba santa and elecampane and mullein. You can partake of fire cider, which is organic apple cider vinegar that's imbued with onions and garlic and cayenne pepper and turmeric and usually a little bit of citrus and honey. And the formula will vary from person to person. There's another important nutrient for athletes, and that's glutamine. And glutamine is really nice because it specifically can help athletes to get less colds and flus because it surrounds the white blood cells and assists it in fighting infections, and so that the infections don't affect you as much. And I forget to take glutamine. I should be taking glutamine because I have my amped up applesauce that I take.
You can put it in that.
I put in that. Yeah,
there you
absolutely
go.
Can.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Try not to overtrain in the wintertime.
Right.
Or off-season, or especially now, especially with all this virus stuff scare all around.
If you feel extra tired, you can take a day off. You heard it here. And the other thing that I'll remind you is if you get sick and you rest during the time you were sick, when you go back to training, you're going to feel great. You're going to feel better than before you got sick because you were run down leading up to your illness. And then if you just rest, you're going to get back into it and you're going to have a lot more energy. And you have to be careful not to overdo it after that. But taking that time off is really helpful. And it's made it so that I used to, last year and years past, I would have one day a week. I always have one day a week long, but now with the one day a week long where I would go sit on the trainer, do your extreme spin, and then I'd add hours on. I don't do that anymore. And
I don't think you should.
Even though I have a metric coming up on April 5th, I'm going to wing it. I'm going to just hope that I can get some outdoor miles before that metric, and then I'll do whatever I do.
You'll be fine.
And I'll be fine because I've been...
You'll be fine. And you know when you'll get done with it? When you're done.
Yeah, and they don't mind. And Paul and Toby will chase me in his vehicle, and I'll give him a kiss at the end.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Okay, so Fran says, you know, pay attention to not being overtired because that can lead to overtraining, and keep your immune system strong, taking all sorts of good stuff. And that's how we as cyclists will avoid the coronavirus. So let's begin the year with a positive, healthy note. It's
yeah.
The maintenance minute, numb feet, tingling toes.
Oh,
ever
no.
Ever have those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the common issue. It's not unusual. And there is a piece from Bicycling Magazine, which crossed my desk, and I thought it was kind of cool, and addressed the root cause of numbness before it wrecks your ride. And it can wreck your ride. It'll really wreck your ride if it's cold out, because it's just, there's nothing like pedaling with frozen blocks on the end of your legs. I hate that. But it says here that cyclists don't experience numb feet only in cold temperatures. It usually starts as a little tingle. Maybe it feels like pins and needles in your toes. And then as you pedal on, it doesn't get better. So anyway, I hear this all the time from people, and especially somebody who's new to cycling. They tend to experience this more so than people that have been out riding for a while. It can be annoying, it can be painful, but most of all, it can take away from the pleasure of the ride. So it's important to remember, though, that you're not alone. Thumb feet and tingling toes are some of the most common issues reported by cyclists. How about that? So common causes, this comes from Scott Holz, who's a global program director for Specialized Bicycle Components University and a leading bike fit expert. Toe and foot numbness on the bike often has two main causes, nerve compression or blood circulation restriction. There are several factors that can cause nerve compression, including the cleat placement, improper arch support, too much or too little, or shoes that are too tight and especially too narrow, and the incorrect pedal stance width. So anyway, these are things that if you are having this problem and you cannot figure it out on your own, it definitely is worth having someone take a look at it that knows what they're doing. I have a friend who's off seeing a bike fitter today, and he's very excited because the bike fitter said that he was going to spend 4 hours with him. And I said, yeah, well, he's very, 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 very thorough. I know him. I've known him for many years, and he definitely spends a lot of time at it. So he's gonna get his money's worth as far as that goes. So it's a good thing. Your riding posture may also have a lot to do with foot pain and numbness. There's a lot of stress around your low back and the pelvis, and a reasonable number of cyclists develop a type of foot numbness that is referred from the back when the nerves are pinched, says Mark Gallagher, a podiatrist with Pure Sports Medicine in Kensington, United Kingdom.
That's bad. I mean,
yeah,
because that's the thing. See, foot numbness can be very simple, and it can also be fairly serious. I mean, you really have to, if you are getting that, you really have to get some good workup to find out what's causing it. Because it could be as simple as, like you said, tight shoes. And if that's all, tight shoes or a poor placement of the cleat.
The cleat,
but,
right.
And if that's all it is, thank goodness. But it could be as serious. I mean, God forbid, you could have a tumor on your spinal level. If you're having foot numbness, the sciatic nerve tracks from between L4 and L5 and then also
all
L5 and S1.
Right. Yep.
And if you have compression there, if you have something wrong with the disc, or if you have a lesion, that could cause foot numbness. So you have to make sure it's not that.
So this is something you shouldn't ignore, because anytime nerve compression is ignored, there's a chance of lasting damage.
That's right.
One such issue is called Morton's neuroma.
Yes.
And this is where one of the plantar nerve branches develops scar tissue around the branch as it tries to protect the nerve from the compression.
Yeah.
The results are lasting or permanent pain and numbness. If your shoes are too narrow, this can exacerbate the condition.
Exacerbate.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't say it right. But the metatarsal button additions to insoles can help. So you can do things like that. So there's things you can pay attention to, but you definitely should pay attention to this because it can run into a problem.
Morton's neuroma is pretty common.
Yeah.
It's not unusual. You'll feel like you have a pea at the ball of your... Well, it's where you usually feel the Morton's neuroma is around your second toe, like between your second and third toe. That's about where it happens, because that's where you put a lot of pressure on the toe. And you're going to be more likely to get that. Like I said, the improper placement of the cleat could cause that. And you hope that when you have the improper placement, you're just getting some pressure on the nerves and it doesn't turn into the Morton's neuroma. But runners are good ones for getting the Morton's neuroma.
Yeah. Isn't there something called Morton's toe, too, where your index finger toe, the second toe in, is actually sticks out longer than your big
right.
toe?
Right. So, because I guess Morton hung out at the second toe.
I guess so.
So the neuroma hung out hangs up behind. So who I've seen Morton's neuroma in is certainly cyclists can get it, but runners. Also, I've had patients in the past who were ballroom dancers.
Oh,
women,
there you go. Sure.
Because they're wearing high-heeled shoes and they're putting
trying
pressure.
Trying to dance in them.
Yes.
Oh God. What
right.
a wonderful idea.
Exactly.
Sigh. I mean,
so
cycling shoes can be mildly uncomfortable. I know that, but boy, that just the idea that you would be dancing in a high heel. Don't even get me started.
So I talked to them about about changing up their shoes, even if they want to have a little lift. They just want to make sure there's a lot of support in the toe, and you know that a lot of people. We talk to people about getting good circulation in the feet. And this is a problem. It's particularly a problem for runners, but it can also be a problem for cyclists. But you know, are you going to talk about plantar fasciitis too?
I don't know that is listed here, but it might be. Yeah.
Because the deal is that people will get shoes and they'll have three problems with the shoes. The shoes will have a toe box that's too narrow. Mm-hmm. It'll have a positive heel, which means the heel is higher than the toe.
Be a cycling issue, though.
Well, the toe box being too narrow would be a
cycling
issue.
That would be a cycling issue,
for
but
sure.
The heel wouldn't be a problem.
The heel wouldn't matter. That's true, because that's true. But
right.
And there's other things that can affect it as well. So you want to have a toe box that's adequately wide, and you want to have a negative or neutral heel. Although when you're on the bicycle, it doesn't matter as much.
It doesn't
matter as
much, right.
But usually, when you're wearing a cycling shoe, you effectively have a negative heel because the cleat buoys up the front of the shoe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say you're out on a ride and it's not cold out. So it's not cold that's affecting the numbness as far as
right.
that goes, but you start to feel some tingling or numbness. One of the things that you can do while you're riding without even getting off your bike is to loosen up your shoes a little bit.
Right, of course.
You know, just back off on the Velcro on the shoes, or if you have a lace
ties.
Lock, you know,
yeah.
whatever it is, then you just back that off too. And try that until the pain goes away or the tingling goes away. But that's a great experiment, and that'll let you know whether or not your shoe fit is part of your problem.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool thing. And so making sure your shoes fit, it's good. Your toes need wiggle room to account for swelling. And,
yes.
and that's another thing that people forget about is that when you start working really hard on your bike, your feet swell.
Yes,
and
they do.
And when they swell, your shoes get a little bit tighter. So you have to you have to have a shoe that's going to be big enough for you to have to expand in. And I also strongly encourage, you know, a very thin sock because you don't want to take up too much space in there. But you want a sock that's going to wick also at the same time. So
I've seen the other thing that can happen is you can have person with poor circulation to their feet, whether they have varicose veins throughout their legs or if they have Raynaud's phenomenon, that's going to impair cycling to your foot, impair circulation to your foot.
I have that.
You have Raynaud's phenomenon.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And you can get, that can affect your nerve function and you get numbness and tingling from that.
Yeah. That's why I teach indoors in the wintertime because my feet are the real problem. I haven't found a cure for it yet. Tried a lot of different things, but
Raynaud's is tough.
It's real tough. If you don't have the circulation, you don't have the circulation. So that's what it is. Footbeds are another thing you can do. Choosing the right footbed is a great idea. They not only prevent arch collapse, but they can increase efficiency, which also distributes pressure over the entire area of the sole, and this removes the pressure points to cause nerve compression and circulation loss. You can find that there are a number of different footbeds out there, but I have used a footbed in my shoes that actually is you actually heated it up before you put it in your shoe and then let your foot form around it, so it really fits my foot nicely, which is really nice. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. They're not a blanket cure, but they might not be right for everyone, but, you know, again, you can do something like that. Professional bike fit, huge. You know, get somebody to take a look at it if you're having problems. Don't ignore the problem. That's the big thing here. So the maintenance minute, which is far longer than a minute as usual, is talking a little bit about numb feet, tingling toes, and how to deal with those common issues. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, and you want to add to it, you can simply send us an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit the Bicycle Talk Facebook page and make some comments there. Let's hear if you've had any problems with numb feet and what your solution has been for numb feet. The content of the show, yeah, here it is. It's in the news. Everybody's talking about it. No, it's not the Democrats and the voting. But yes, that is another big thing that's going on out there. And we'll talk about that some other time because I do like to talk about politics as related to bicycles. But no, it is the coronavirus. The coronavirus is it's creating quite a problem in the cycling world. I've talked about this in past episodes, in the fact that we have had
big events like the Taipei Cycling Show, which is one of the biggest events in the world for cycling. It's where all the manufacturers get together and they talk about what they're going to do for the next year, and they get to review and explore, you know, their options for components that they may be putting on bicycles or other items which they might be selling that are bicycle related. So it's a big, big, big deal. And it's in Taiwan. And it got pushed out now until sometime in May is where what we're talking about right now. So I talked about that recently. Definitely, that's one place where the coronavirus has affected the bicycle industry and bicycles in general. I got a little bit of old news here because this was back about a week or so ago. Wout van Aert, you remember that name? Wout van Aert, he rides for the Jumbo team. And he is a big cyclocross star. And he's also a road bike star. So he's pretty cool. He had to get somehow, and I don't quite understand this because I never got the article that I read doesn't really come clear with exactly why he was not able to get to the race. But there was the Umloop Het Nootsblad. So Van Aert, in order to get to the race, because apparently he had a problem getting to the race, crossing borders, whatever it was, he parachuted in. Isn't that great? That's great. You know, talk about a talented athlete that he could parachute into to get to the race. It wasn't on his original program, but Wout Van Aert from Jumbo Visma will line up at the race. This was past weekend, amid fears that some of his upcoming races might be canceled due to the coronavirus outbreak. Van Aert, who placed fourth at the Cyclocross World Championships earlier this month, was due to make his road racing season debut with a trio of Italian one-day races, the Strade Bianche, that's on March 7th, the GP Industria Artigianato on March 8th, and Milan-San Remo on March 21st. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So all three races are currently at risk due to the spread of the coronavirus, with Italy seeing an alarming number of cases over the past week. And again, remember, this news is a week old, and I have updates to this as we get into the show here a little bit farther. So he needed to get to the race quickly, and so they parachuted him in, which I think is kind of funny, and definitely have not heard that one before. That's a new event for the cyclocross star. Very, very clever. So kind of a cool thing. Thought I'd bring it up because I thought it was funny. And anyway, that race is over, and I did have some. I don't know if I even had the results, but. It is a cobble classic, so it does have cobbles on it. And the organizers, Flanders Classics, promote a men's and women's race on the same day. Routes typically 199.8 kilometers with 120 and 121 kilometers, respectively. So,
you know, they have cobbles and dirt on Zwift.
Yeah, but that just doesn't count.
And it slows you down.
That's fine. I'm sorry. That's just not real. You know, if you would like to ride on cobbles and dirt, we will go do cobbles and dirt. I'll show you where you can ride on cobbles and dirt because we have them around here.
You know what Zwift is? It's BVG.
BVG.
Yeah, BVG. I keep telling you what BVG is, and you never
tell me again.
It stands for Besser wie Gornischt.
Okay.
It's Yiddish for better than nothing.
Yeah, it is better than nothing, but it's just a simulation. It's not like the real deal. And as simulated as it is, and as it may feel like you're pedaling harder because of it,
you're still not
experience any of the real effect of the skills that you need to have to be able to ride in those situations.
That's true, but what's better, Zwift cobbles or the couch?
Well, anything's better than the couch because the couch doesn't have any wheels or pedals on it.
Oh, the couch allows you to rest.
Although, I'll bet you could make one.
Maybe we should think
about that for the Boombox Parade for this year.
I'm sure it's been done.
You know, we could make a pedaling couch.
Okay.
And then someone would have to dress up as
Mr. Potato Head.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Ooh, we got to start. Okay. All right. We'll start that. Anyway, the Boombox Parade, by the way, if you are a listener and you're going, what in the world is Peddlin' Ron and Fran talking about? I can tell you it's this wonderful event we have in Willimantic every year. And it was started back in the days of boomboxes. You remember those, right? You remember boomboxes?
What?
The big noisy boxes that people used to carry up on their shoulders. And anyway, they play marching band music at the local radio station. Everybody dresses up and has a good time. It's fun. It's really fun. It's a great thing. And it's a quirky little thing in beautiful downtown Willimantic, Connecticut,
and
which
Senator
is a quirky
Blumenthal,
little place.
Senator Blumenthal and now Governor Lamont show up to it every
year.
Yeah,
we get all sorts of cool people there. It's kind of fun because it's just a fun thing. And if you have any ideas for the Boombox Parade or you'd like to participate some way in a cycling way, we should work on that. I'll throw the word out there now for any of my local listeners that are interested. Or if you're not a local listener and you want to come out for the 4th of July, come on out and we'll have some fun at the Boombox Parade. It'll be fun. Anyway, back to the coronavirus. So there's some things going on here with the coronavirus that are very, very upsetting. And not only did the Taipei show get canceled, but remember last week we were talking about the UAE tour, the one that was in the desert?
Yes, the canceled, United Arab.
Canceled.
Oh.
Mid-race after two staffers test positive for coronavirus.
Really?
Yeah. So the UAE tour has been canceled. There are people that have the coronavirus. And so four riders are reported to be positive for coronavirus at the UAE tour. So they cut it short by 2 days, and it's a done deal. It's over. So the riders that are affected are under lockdown in their hotels, and they're waiting for further testing before they can be released. Cyclists, team staffers, and reporters are all under lockdown in their hotels. And that report came back from February 28th, so that was a few days ago. But the final two stages of the tour were canceled. And Chris Froome tweeted, it's a shame that the UAE tour has been canceled, but public health must come first. We are awaiting testing and remain in our hotel until further notice. I hope those affected make a speedy recovery and there aren't any further cases. So when he tweeted this out, he was confined to his hotel room. They shut everybody in and they're testing from room to room to make sure that they don't have the virus. Britain's Adam Yates, who had led the overall race after Thursday's fifth stage, was declared the winner of the event after the final two stages fell victim to the coronavirus outbreak. So second was Tadej Pogačar of Slovenia with Kazakh Alexey Lutsenko third. So basically they held their places and they ended up with that as the finish of the race. Wow. Anyway, the pleasure of going home after several days spent at the hotel, tweeted 2018 world champion Alejandro Valverde. We are doing well and soon we will be in Spain.
Valverde, he's still in?
He's still around. He's still around. You can't kick the old guy out. So, yep, he's still at it. Coronavirus is a big deal. This came through just, a couple of hours ago. Six more coronavirus cases linked to the UAE tour as the quarantine continues. So, yeah, there's some stuff going on right now. And the UCI, of course, decided to cancel the tour, and we already talked about that. The report cited that there's two Russians, two Italians, and a German and a Colombian who have tested positive. There are currently four teams that are still under quarantine in their hotel rooms. Cofidis, Groupama FDJ, Gazprom, and the UAE team Emirates. So the UAE team Emirates has stated, although they have been cleared to leave, the team has decided in a self-imposed quarantine as a precaution. The other three teams, however, have not been cleared despite most of the other teams being able to leave 2 days ago. I think the situation really isn't normal. Team Confidus president
said in a statement on his team's website, we are being held against our will in a place that we didn't choose and for unknown period of time. So it's, you know, I mean, I understand they're upset. You know, they don't really want to stay there. But at the same time, you're not going to put them on an airplane and fly them out of there. And if they're European riders, they're not going to be able to transport by land because this is in Africa, so Middle East or whatever, and so it's not so easy to do. So, you know, that's what's going on. The coronavirus has affected the bicycle racing world, and yet, don't stop. There's more. There's definitely more. So this is more from that UAE tour. More information in the bicycle industry about it. So one of the places that we have here in the U.S. that has turned into a positive spot for coronavirus, well, two of them actually. One is really close to us, Rhode Island, because someone came from Italy and had it. And, you know, it's what a big surprise someone came from Italy to go to Rhode Island. But, you know, sorry, the very heavy Italian population over in Rhode Island, if you know the history of Rhode Island at all. But, the other place is Washington State. So, REI, you've heard of them, right? Yeah. REI deep cleans 5 office campuses in Seattle area. 2 employees possibly exposed to COVID-19. So, 2 REI co-op employees possibly were exposed to the COVID-19 virus on Monday, and the outdoor giant based in Seattle closed 3 office campuses for deep cleaning. Megan Barebaum, REI communications manager, said that the campuses, which do not include the stores, were being deep cleaned Tuesday and Wednesday. The office campuses were closed were REI's Kent, Seattle, Georgetown, and Bellevue Eastgate locations. In addition to King County and Alderwood, campuses will be proactively deep cleaned. All will reopen Thursday, and employees can work remotely who can work remotely were asked to do so. The statement is, across the co-op, we are stepping up cleaning efforts and providing additional cleaning supplies at our campuses, retail stores, and distribution centers, she said. Following guidance from public health officials, we are reminding all REI employees to frequently wash their hands and not to come to work if they're not feeling well. There's a no-brainer. If you can afford to, that's welcome to the USA. The health and safety of our employees is number one priority. Barebaum said REI is among a growing number of businesses and schools in the area taking precautions guarding against potential COVID-19 exposure. Given the rapidly changing situation around coronavirus and out of the abundance of caution, we made a decision to suspend all employee business travel through March 20th. That included a training session involving Cannondale, which is an REI supplier. So, yeah, it's also hitting right here in the U.S. We're seeing the same thing. There's a piece that just came out a day or two ago, actually yesterday, from Bicycle Retailer Magazine, and it's Voices, the bike industry reacts to COVID-19 outbreak. You know, there's just a lot of concern out there right now. Steve Morgenstern, owner of Bicycle Ranch in Tucson, Arizona. We're not stockpiling, but we're looking at the popular entry-level bikes, some of the hardtail mountain bikes, and some of the comfort cruiser bikes that Giant said might not be available in a couple of months due to the supply disruptions. They said we might see some inventory delays on these more popular bikes. Keeping it on my radar, it could affect us all. I don't think we're going to have to stockpile. So right now, people are concerned in the industry, on the retail end, they're concerned that they're going to run out of supply this year because of the interruption that we have in Asia with production of product and the ability to ship that product out. And so it's something to be aware of. I'm going to give my bicycle shops that are out there listening a big boost. I would get to my bicycle shop right away. If I'm thinking about buying a bike this year, I would probably consider sooner rather than later. If that gives them a bump, you're welcome from Pedal and Ron here at Bicycle Talk. But and if nothing happens, then it gave you a bump anyway. So there you go. So anyway, yeah, it's an issue. The industry is concerned. I know that the Taipei show has postponed, I believe, until May. So we're still waiting to hear more about that. But we're not done yet. Okay, we're just not done yet. There's so much going on here. And it's like every time I turned a page, I looked and I saw yet more things going on. The Sea Otter Classic, one of the biggest outdoor cycling events here in the United States in the spring. It's a big consumer trade show. It's a huge mountain bike race. They have road bike races there too. It's really cool. I've been to it. It's a totally very cool thing to do. It's out of Monterey, California. And they are monitoring the virus situation very, very carefully and will announce a decision soon. This was published March 3rd, 2020. The organizers of next month's Sea Otter Classic Bicycle event said Tuesday they're keeping a close eye on COVID-19 virus outbreak and will make an announcement about the event in the next few days. We are carefully monitoring the coronavirus situation, said Frank Yonanan, the event's president and CEO. We've been in discussions with various agencies to determine the best course of action regarding the 2020 Sea Otter Classic. He said organizers will make a final decision within a couple of days. Yonanan's statement came the same day as the organizers of, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, the North American Handmade Bicycle Show announced that it would be postponing their March 20th to 22nd event to August 21st through the 23rd, and that was being held in Dallas, Texas this year. Yonanan says, our sympathy goes out to those affected by the coronavirus. We extend our gratitude to all healthcare workers fighting to contain its spread. And that, of course, brings me to the fact that the hand-built show has decided to postpone. And I actually got an email from Don on this one. Don has been, he's a friend of the show. He has been on the show in the past. And when he came out, Don Walker, who is the founder and president of the National North American Handbuilt Show, he sent me an email yesterday and it said, as I sit here watching the news, there is nothing positive about the state of the world in the light of the coronavirus, COVID-19. Its grasp on the planet is ever strengthening, and it continues to spread globally, including Europe, Asia, and now here in the USA. Based on the current news reports and travel restrictions, and talking to many NABHS exhibitors, media, and partners over the last week, I've made a difficult decision to postpone the NABHS and reschedule this year's show. As a global show that attracts people from all over the world, and in evaluating the current variables and public health risks, I feel this is in everyone's best interest. The new dates for the NABHS show 2020 are Friday, August 21st through Sunday, August 23rd at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. Move-in date for the exhibitors will be August 20th. So, yeah, it even took out the North American Handbuilt Show. I get alerts day after day. More things are being canceled, more and more. It's crazy.
I have a conference coming up in.
You may not.
I know.
You know, you may not. You right. have a lot of, you know, there's a ton of international travelers where your conference is, and, you know, you may not.
Right.
You may not. There may be a concern about it.
Right.
And it just seems like I'm going down the list here. There's one after another, and we're just constantly getting this. So this whole show has been around the coronavirus, COVID-19. Terrible. It's affecting everyone, including the bicycle industry and those of us who are involved in the bicycle world. So we go back to the positive side. Keep that immune system up. Get out, ride your bike, do good things, you know, try to take care of yourself, be healthy, don't run yourself down. You're probably, if you are a dedicated cyclist, I'm sure you're far healthier than most of the people around you. So let's keep it that way. Take care of yourself. so we can talk about and hear what you have to say about cycling in the future. It's a good thing. So let's all take care. So here's another little piece that's sitting on my feed, and this is, as we move forward, we got what's really killing New York cyclists. Following the deadliest year in two decades, our crash data, analysts found that drivers make more mistakes than when and then. And that when they do, more riders die. Well, that's a lovely, lovely thing to hear. But you know what? This is what's going on. It's like, yeah, you know, I hear this all the time, especially from people who are city dwellers and they're, you know, dodging bicycles as bicycles are darting all through the city streets and all. And I hear all this negative feedback about, oh, you're one of those people. And, you know, I have a hard time. I can't drive my car in the city because I'm afraid I'm going to run into one of you guys or whatever. Well, guess what? It's even though that I will admit that there are many cyclists that are at fault for riding poorly while riding in traffic, and we'll touch on this a little bit later in the show here as we wind up, it's found that it's more the car's fault than it is the cyclist's fault. So anyway, last year, 27 cyclists were hit and killed by drivers in the streets of New York City. 27, up from 10 deaths in 2018. That's a pretty big jump, 10 to 27. Despite adopting a Vision Zero safety program in 2014 that added 100 miles of protected bike lanes and reduced citywide speed limit to 25 miles an hour. Reduced to 25? I can't believe that it wasn't 25 to begin with. Sigh. Anyway, New York City saw its deadliest year for cyclists since 1999. We wanted to know more about the ways that city drivers and cyclists interact, so we analyzed crash data from 2018 and 2019. Some crashes don't get documented. No police report is required if there isn't an injury or at least $1,000 worth of damage. So we looked at crashes where cyclists were injured or killed. Specifically, we dug into the data posted by the NYC Open Data Portal, a public database that includes the specifics of every collision involving a motor vehicle. Although some of what we found may not be news to anyone who has navigated NYC by bike, the data reveals some surprising insights into the consequences of interactions between drivers and cyclists. For example, if you were hit and injured by a driver while riding your bike in New York City last year, chances are the crash wasn't your fault. Your odds of surviving that crash depend on whether you caused it or and what type of vehicle hit you. So cyclists die far more often in crashes caused by drivers than when a cyclist is at fault. Very interesting. Police reports also showed that despite being involved in the vast majority of crashes, cars killed very few cyclists. SUVs struck about as many cyclists as cars, but killed significantly more. And commercial trucks and vans, vehicles involved in fewer than 3% of the injury crashes, killed the most by a significant margin. Wow. Amazing. So this is all really interesting information. The following analysis does not speculate on the stark rise of fatalities between 2018 and 19 because the data didn't show the specific cause for the increase, but it does uncover some illuminating facts about the uneven relationship between drivers and cyclists. So when drivers are at fault, cyclists die more often. That's a big one. In 2019, there were 3,835 crashes in New York City involving cyclists and motorists in which a cyclist was injured or killed, a 3% decrease from 2018. Anyway, every police report shows that officers to code an apparent contributing factors in which document circumstances say that they believe influenced a crash. The officer must attribute each factor to the party involved, the driver who wasn't paying attention, for example, or a cyclist who ran a red light. In some crashes, both parties made errors that contributed to the cyclist's injury. So That's kind of upsetting news, is that it's less of the cyclist problem and more of the motorist problem. And, you know, let's try it. What if we were to reduce the speed limit another 5 miles per hour, bring it down to 20 miles an hour, which, you know, a very, very healthy cyclist could maintain that speed. Now, I'm not saying that's everyone. 20 miles an hour is pretty fast, and you have to have some serious fitness behind you to be able to do that. But still, you'd be a lot safer if everyone was down at the same speed. So anyway, just my point. I have to say, I have other things that I can talk about. I'm actually going to save these because I think that. We're going to move them on to next week, and we're going to talk, or maybe after, because I do have a guest coming in next week. But I have a list here of a definitive guide for riding your bicycle in traffic, quick tips to help you build confidence and skills while riding along with traffic. So there are some quickie rules. There's a bunch of information out there that you may be interested in. I'll also touch base a little bit on the summary of the March 2nd hearing for Bill number 5324 here in Connecticut, which is a transportation hearing, which happened on Monday right here in Connecticut, which is kind of cool. And we'll touch on that. We also will have a special guest next week. I have confirmed it with him. Jed Kornblue from CCAP is going to be coming on the air with us. Very good friend of the show. Jed is going to come and talk a little bit more and give us an update on what's going on with CCAP and all the cool stuff that they're doing and how they're getting all these kids into bicycles and bicycle racing. And it should be a fun time. It's always a good time when we have Jed on board. So anyway, we're looking at other events that are coming up. Obviously, the North American Hand-Built Show is out. That one's off my list. It's been canceled or actually postponed until August. Remember the other things that we have coming up, March 15th through the 17th. So far, the Safe Streets for Everyone 21st Annual National Bike Summit in Arlington, Virginia and Washington, D.C., as far as I know, is still on. I haven't heard anything more from that. So keep your eyes on your calendar for that one. Other things that are on the list here coming up in May, we have National Bike Month. Yay, National Bike Month, the month of May. Get that bike out. We're getting some pretty nice weather up here in the Northeast. You know, maybe time to talk about or start thinking about maybe riding that bike to work, you know, that sort of thing. It's coming. I talked to someone this morning who said, you know what, he thinks he's going to start riding his bike to work again because the weather has just definitely been more favorable. We're getting temperatures that are proposed to be up near 50 degrees next week. So certainly makes it a lot easier to get out there and ride your bike to work. So, but National Bike Month is May of 2020. And remember, this says 2019. Why is it listed that way? Okay. Anyway, I'm not going to call out the dates because I may not have the proper information here right now. But coming up in May, we'll talk a little bit more about that. As we get closer to it, we'll talk about it a lot. The 9th Annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride, July 26, 2020. Come explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. It's gorgeous up here. If you have not been into northeastern Connecticut to ride a bike, you're missing something. We got some great roads. It's hilly but beautiful, very rural, very scenic, really, really nice. And remember, Saturday, August 15th, 2020, save the date. It is the Steeplechase Bike Tour right here in Mansfield and Willimantic area. So we have the Steeplechase Bike Tour, which will be, it's our 29th, I think. I think that's what it is. It's right up there. I'll have more information on that, too. It's something that I've been involved with for a very long time. I plan a lot of the routes for them and go to a lot of meetings. But anyway, so save that date, August 15th, 2020, Steeplechase Bike Tour. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, the management, or the licensee of this station. My name is Pedal and Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast and would like to comment, you can send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or iTunes or now on Spotify. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, send an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.